track and stay focused and all those things. You know, at some point I was stressing over this being a week where it's a short week, it's the 4th of July, etc. And at some point, like the Holy Spirit said, relax, I got this. Which, okay, well, how is this going to work? And at some point, later in the week, it just became clear, I don't want you to write anything down. Just speak. This is your bar mitzvah portion. You should be able to speak on your bar mitzvah portion anyway. And I can. So, the Torah portion begins in chapter 19 of Numbers. And it details for us some not so pleasant happenings. It's already not so pleasant. It you know, after last Torah portion with Korach, then we don't realize that 38 years have passed. Actually, it's in the 40th year now, and they are not far from Israel. They're not far from the promised land. In fact, they're going to cross over in the next one, which is Balak, which is mostly about Balaam. And they have a fight with a couple of the Amalekites, etc. And they win against Og and Sihon. And then they move towards, and they come to the part of the southern part of Israel, if you've been to Israel, near Eilat. They're across from the Jordan River, and you know they're kind of in the land of what we call Jordan today. And they get to a certain high place in Jordan, and they can see for a distance. They can see such a long distance. They can actually see. It's like a lookout mountain. You've heard of Lookout Mountain in Tennessee, that in Chattanooga, that you can, if it's a clear day, you can see Tennessee. This is the great states of Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. Okay, and I've been around that part of the world, and then they add in Georgia. Bill said that some people have said that it's so clear, when it's totally clear, you can actually see Kentucky. We're not sure. Just really very difficult to imagine when you figure the distance. But it's probably possible that you can see the mountains, the smaller mountains in Kentucky. Now, the Appalachians don't go to Kentucky. They continue kind of at an angle, you know, away from Chattanooga and that part of Tennessee. So anyway, we had the opportunity many years ago to go to Israel and see these things, and it allows the Bible to become real. They could see, for example, they could see from the Jordan side. Nowadays, in the tours, if they take you to Petra, Petra is in Jordan, okay, and you can actually see from Petra, which is up in mountains, you can see the Dead Sea. You can see it being fed by the Jordan, and you can follow that up and see that it actually starts at the Kinneret, at the Sea of Galilee. So you can actually see in a little higher point in Petra when the weather is just nice, you can see the Mediterranean on the other side of Tel Aviv and so on. Okay, so it's an actual very high vantage point, and you can see everything. This is where the book of Deuteronomy is going to take place. They are just months, weeks away from getting to that place. They're not there yet, but they're so close. All they need is passage from the wilderness of Saudi Arabia onto the land that's right next to Israel. It was not called Jordan in the Bible. It was part of Israel, by the way. But don't tell the UN, because they wouldn't believe you or anything. So here they are. Let's take inventory for a moment. Who's there? This is in the year 40. And the only people that are alive that were of the older generation are Moses and Aaron and Miriam. But there's one you don't know about, right? Jochebed was alive. That's Moses' mom. She was alive. Okay? And at that point, the scripture doesn't tell us when Jochebed died, but it tells us when Miriam died. She's the first one, she's the oldest. She died. She died before her mom died. And it doesn't say, because it's a lady, it's at the beginning, it says that they arrived to the wilderness of Zin at the first of the month. And it doesn't say that. It says that she died there and was buried there. What it doesn't say, it doesn't find it, I guess, important enough to say that they probably mourned for her for a period of time. After Miriam dies, then this situation happens where they go, there is no water. See, they've had water for almost 40 years. And wherever they've been, there's been water. And it's been gushing out of a rock enough to sustain them. Water's not been an issue. Anybody can go get water. We're talking about 100 tankerfuls of, if you pick a train, we went through Baldwin yesterday coming back, and there was a huge train. We had over 100 cars. But just imagine a train that long with all tankers, 100 of them. That's the daily amount for water for the children of Israel. So that's got to be some kind of a aqueduct coming out from in the desert to provide water for 40 years. So if some of you are younger than 40 years old, like my daughter and her husband, they're younger. You can see they're younger. And Alex Soriano is younger. You say 40, he's like, oh, I'm not even close to there. Come on. Don't mention that number. And there are a number of younger people here, but a lot of us are not. 40 seems young, but for them, 40 seems old. These are all young people. All their parents are dead, the grandparents, except Moses, Aaron, okay, Miriam, and his mom. Miriam dies, is the first one to die in Numbers 20. She dies, it's part of the first verse. It doesn't say that there's time between the first verse and the second verse that is really not implied. In Judaism, they mourn people for 30 days. Okay, so how important is Miriam? Anyway, not said, but implied, because this happens in the next chapter, that they did a mourning period. They finished the mourning period, say 30 days, and this is now extra-biblical. The text doesn't say, but that's what the people used to do. And at the end of 30 days, the water stops. So, it's been around since Miriam was alive, and now Miriam's dead, and there ain't no water. Okay, that's kind of the deal. And so, they're not expecting this situation to happen. They've had almost 40 years. That generation has not lacked water. That generation, you know, has been fed manna from heaven. That generation did not have to work the fields. Did not. They didn't have to have air conditioning by day and, you know, and heaters by night, because the glory of the Lord was with them. The daytime was with them at nighttime. So now, before you want to sign up for it, they're wearing the same shoes for 40 years, right? So that just wouldn't go along with majority of ladies I know. You look at our closet, there is like a few that are male, and then you count all the female shoes. It's not like Imelda, but they're, you know, they're, most ladies like shoes. My wife has shoes for with colors, and they match, and they match her clothes and everything. I have black. And it matches everything. So, anyway, so there. It's not. This is a generation that has been absolutely under the personal care of the Lord, and they know it. So they. This is an instance here where. Not what expected is happening. For sure. The 38 years that happened from the beginning, Numbers 13 and Korach, it's 38 years since that stuff happened. That means that they have been having the water available and all those things, and all of a sudden the water's not there. And imagine that everything's going wonderful and then all of a sudden it's not. I think that the world is about to find out, and that the body of Messiah may very well get shaken a little bit if all of a sudden things aren't the way that they've been, okay? And so it's natural for those people, these are not the rebels. None of the people present were part of the rebellion. Those people are gone. The people that were there at that time, only Joshua and Caleb are there, and they were the ones who didn't do any of those things, and they actually will actually go into the promised land. The Lord didn't say anything about Aaron or Moses or Miriam or Jochebed. And as you'll find out, they die. They do die. On the next chapter, Aaron dies. Interesting about Aaron, because it essentially there are places in Numbers 33, it describes what happened to Aaron, and the Lord called him to a mountain and so on, and said, you will die here. In this case, though, even though he died, they knew where he died, so they actually buried him and then did 30 days of called Shiva, or, you know, of mourning for him. And that's described towards the end of Numbers. What about Moses? Well, that's described at the end of the Torah. In chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, and it ends in 34, it details for us that Moses is instructed by the Lord, no more talking, get the successor and anoint him in front of everybody and transfer the power. By the way, that also happened in number 33, because I know you not read this weekend, it's coming up. When you read it, you'll see that the Lord instructs Aaron, his oldest son, which is a Cohen, it can be a Cohen, his the sons, Eleazar. He brings Eleazar, and the way the transfer happened is Moses took off all of Aaron's priestly garments, not his personal clothes, okay? Read it correctly in context, and place all the transfer all the priestly garments from Aaron to his son, to the oldest son, Eleazar. So there was a transfer in the Levitical priesthood. There's going to also be a transfer with Moses. And before he dies, he said, you need to anoint Joshua and lay hands on him and all those things. Even though we know, we read the Bible and know that from way back when, we knew Joshua was the chosen one. And he was the one then, one of the 12 spies on top of that. And anyway, he's faithfully been by Moses, and now he's anointed to lead. Then in chapter 34, which is the last chapter of the Torah, it talks about, which you could, you do a little bit of studying, people aren't sure how that got written because Moses died. So who wrote it? And so the speculation is that one of the priests that came back from the captivity, one that you know about, name is Ezra. Remember Ezra and Nehemiah? That one, Ezra, actually recorded what everyone remembered from this time. And so chapter 34 was not written by Moses because he was dead. Okay? Don't let that bother your soul. Okay, I thought the Torah was written by Moses. Yeah, except for the last part of the scroll, because he was dead. It records his death. Someone had to record it. So the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, gave that so that the Torah would be properly sealed. So now Moses is dead. In between Deuteronomy 34 and Numbers 33, Jochebed also dies. And that's recorded in other places in Judaism. What's interesting to me about that is that as a mom, Jochebed is in Egypt when the command comes that they're going to all kill all the babies, and tells all the midwives, anyway, she was a really good midwife, that they need to kill the babies. Okay, and so evidently she doesn't do it, and then she herself is pregnant, and she's not going to do it. So she defies the affair and all those things. As a mom, for a moment, think that you make a decision, and you don't know the impact of that decision when you make it. You just follow your mom's. I'm told, I'm not a mom, I'm told that there's this bond between a mom and the children and so on. My wife always talks about the heart of a mom, and that it just, she talks about how every one of the Israeli people that have died, and we see their picture on the Israeli newspapers, the first thing my wife does is, that mom is just suffering right now. Some of you are mothers, and I think you know what I'm talking about very well. So the heart of a mom is not thinking about the year 40 years later or 75 years later, and, my son's name is Donald Trump or any of those things. He's just taking care of the baby and feeding the baby and doing everything for the baby. And you do it because it's inside of you to do it, and you want to do it. It's tiring. It's sometimes it's frustrating, especially if a lot of ladies don't have husbands that want to work or help. There may not even be husbands nowadays in our society. But because there is a husband, it doesn't mean that he's willing to do it. I remember my mom said, I would put on a handkerchief and spray to change your diapers, Tony. They didn't call me Tony, she called me Maori. And I sort of inherited that, so I was not like, you know, the baby did something. I honestly would say, this stinks. And the first time I took my son to the mall, he had something yellow greenish, and you heard the noise, and right about where Chick-fil-A, the first time Chick-fil-A was placed there, right about that place, and it's like, I look, it's all over me. She just started laughing. My wife started laughing. It's like, this is a tragedy. What am I supposed to do? She just, give me the baby. I'll take care of the baby. What about me? Who's going to take care of it? There's the bathroom over there. Go over there. You know, so you strip out of everything and you try to get the yellow out. Now you're all wet, and et cetera, right? And most dads, including me at the time, this was not like, this was a test I didn't expect, and I'm not sure I passed it, and I wasn't real proud. But mom, she was so excited. Mom's always excited about the baby, my baby son did, a baby daughter, and always excited. Just imagine Yochabed. She was always excited. That's all she thought about. She never thought about. She knew that she was the only one that knew that their son was going to be is somebody really great. Is it Mary, the mother of Yeshua, because the angel told her this is who he's going to be. But Yochabed didn't have that. She has three children, and the third one almost doesn't make it because it's during the time that the Pharaoh, and then, so she's not gonna kill. She's a midwife. She's not gonna do it. So instead, they put him on a basket on the Nile, and pray and said, "Lord, it's in your hands." Can you imagine putting your little baby, even though it's a third one, and Miriam, the oldest sister, is watching, and sees that the basket ends up in the area where the Pharaoh's daughter is taking her bath. And instead of saying, that kill him, she apparently didn't have children. And this was her opportunity to have a child. So she takes the child and said, well, the Nile gave it to me, so it's mine. You know, that's the mindset of the Egyptians, that they worship the Nile. So, etc. So even with all of that, you think that mom was thinking, like, wonder what's going to happen to my son. She has Miriam and she has Aaron. She has a husband at that point as well. So it's like, got to let it go. And now run the clock. 100 some years, right? And now here she is, going to pass away somewhere in the book of Numbers, right after Aaron, maybe just before. But sure, she was alive when, according to the rabbis, when Miriam was alive, before she died. And she can now look and see, wow, my daughter Miriam, look what she's done. My son Aaron, the second born, wow, he's the high priest of Israel. And my third born, the one I didn't get to, I did get to nurse him. And then they took him away. Look at him. He's God's leader. I benefited from him. I'm part of the people that the Lord used him. What do you imagine the pride is on that mom? I want to tell you something. All of you mothers, you have no idea what the future may have for your children. And it may not have started really well, and maybe along the way things have gone difficult. But the person that likes to write closing chapters, it's Adonai. He loves to write the end of the book. The end of the book's not finished for some of you. Here, in our midst, there's a walking miracle. Dan's son. I just want you to walk so people can see. This thousands of pounds of tree brushed him, brushed his lungs, tore his back. He was on his face there when we were worshiping. He was blowing the shofar. Not that long ago, I was in the hospital when they brought him in because someone else was having an operation here. I was there. It was what they said, what the medical profession said, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. And when the PT guy started doing PT with him and said, I saw you when they brought you in. And I said to myself, there's one that's never going to walk. They shared it with him. He didn't know if he was going to walk or not. Not in his mind, but in the mind of the Lord that's inside of him. In the Holy Spirit that he's full of. He said, when I went to see him, he said, Rabbi, I'm gonna get over this. I'm gonna walk, and coming back to your congregation, blowing the shofar, I'm gonna worship the Lord. This was it today. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. But when the evidence comes, it's glorious. I want you to know that we don't know the future. He does. If you're a mom, there's still chances for your children. Even 100 years later, okay? Even 100 years later, the Lord can use those children. It doesn't matter what it is now. Adonai is involved with you. And just like he's involved with his dad. And I can't imagine your mom and your dad's agony to see you in that situation. I can imagine. I also know what he said, because he strengthened himself in the Lord. And there was a big text group that he was part of, and he kept us informed day by day. Is that something strange? Am I sharing something strange? Well, it is. It's not common, but it exists. And it exists in our midst. Just like it existed in the wilderness. Just like it existed in the wilderness. When that mom saw the end of their children, she was there to see. She had the gloriousness to see that. Look what God has done with my oldest daughter, with my second born. Celebrated, you know, they had a funeral. Like, it's actually talked about a little bit, and you'll read about it in Numbers 33, etc. And then Moses is celebrated, but in absentia. Adonai did not want the people to know where he was buried. That's probably because if they knew, they would make something, they would want to venerate the grave. I mean, this, the grave of the greatest, etc. And that perhaps could take away from the greatest, the great I am that we sang about. Okay, we don't know, but whatever it is, the will of the Lord was not that they wouldn't know anything about where Moses was buried. But his memory stayed. Be it strengthened, parents, because it's not over for you. And to have been part of this together with you, Dan, to have gone to the hospital, to be there with other people at the same time, and to, you know, some others were dying. We knew that you weren't, and you told me, "I'm not. I'm gonna beat this, Rabbi." And he would open his Bible and read it, and I said to myself, "Lord, may his faith, may we be able to see the substance that we're hoping for, the evidence not seen. When that evidence comes, we're going to rejoice." I think this is your first time back, isn't it? So I couldn't have written this because I didn't know this was going to happen. So that's why he didn't want me to write it, because it's live, it's real. And what I did thought that I would want to talk about is that this grandmother, the mother of Moses, was there at the end. She didn't survive. She's not Joshua and Caleb. Only those two. But she does die, but she dies after Miriam is dead. So she gets to see and experience what God has done with her children. What a great day today is, Dan, don't you think? I think it's a wonderful day. Glorious day, the 5th of July, where Brian is so... When you blow the shofar and you lead in worship, it's almost like thinking about Ezekiel's bones, that, you know, that they came together and they gave you up, but you're here. And not only that, you did what he said you would do. I want to, Rob, I'm going to be in your congregation. I'm going to worship. And I'm not going to be caring. I'm not going to be doing this or... Listen, this is a real miracle. We have a real miracle man in our midst. And there are a bunch of other miracle people here. You know, lastly, in closing, the stories and what's happening to the children of Israel, this last part of the Torah, from here until the end, is more appropriate to our day. Because we have entered the promised land. We know that it is a hand flowing with milk and honey and pomegranates and figs and so on. We're part of that. So were they. You have something in common with the children of Israel that crossed the river and were used to settle the land. We are those people this day. And our land is, our jurisdiction is right here in North Central Florida. In this North Central Florida jurisdiction, we are going to be able to, because there is a revival that has started, and we're going to be part of it. Okay? And it's already happening. You know why you know it's already happening? Because Ryan walks. Ryan walks. Okay, so... do you need another one? I mean, okay, so maybe Lord Gideon's here. Let's have a second one. Let's have a third one. We've declared that in the Mi'kmaq waters that Kyle would see again. And so we have kind of put Adonai on the test block. We're saying, okay, Lord. We were saying, okay, Lord, for you. And he responded. He's not a respecter of persons. So how would you imagine us being led by Ryan with his shofar and Kyle? I can imagine. No, I can't imagine. I can surely imagine, like the song says. I can imagine that such a things happen. Would it be anything for Adonai to heal him? when those things begin to happen, we will be in the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, the people that knew about Yeshua went around telling about Yeshua and that Yeshua could do these things. They never said they could do it. They just said Yeshua can. And in his name, he told us to say and to declare. And it happened. Sometimes it didn't happen immediately. We have a kind of a wrong idea. If you read carefully the book of Acts, some of those things did not happen instantaneously. Some did and some didn't. You know, the guy in the gate beautiful, he was healed instantaneously. And he started walking and leaping and praising God. Ryan was not healed instantaneously. He had a process to go through. But it isn't that long. This is just July. We're talking about less than 3 months. If you were to say to those people, but I'm going to be dancing, blowing the shofar, and worshiping God, and getting on my face, which he said, I'm going to be doing that. And here it is. Three months? Maybe 3 months? 2 months. Then what a mighty God we serve. Huh? What a mighty God we serve. So let's stand with me. What a mighty God we serve. It's a mighty, awesome God. And we're going to have the opportunity to have services that are dominated by the proofs of what Adonai is doing among us. And it's already started, okay? Look, it's already started. We have proofs in this congregation of miracles. We're going to have proofs of many more. That's my faith. Join me in that faith that we can see and touch and see the proofs. There are a bunch of other proofs. You know, I could speak about things that I know. I could speak about miracle employments. I could speak about miracle trips. I could speak about miracle repairs. Miracle repairs, okay? And et cetera. I could tell you about those that I know about. They will tell you about it eventually. When I just want you to know, we have not been abandoned. I want you to know, marvelous things are happening in our midst. Your son is in your home. Anyway, you didn't have to take the pills. No. And you said, I'm gonna not take any medicine, and I'm going to stand there. There you are. Father God, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for the blessing of life. Lord, I thank you that we have this, like Jochebed, we are having the opportunity to see the substance of things hoped for. We're getting to see, to know that our future is sure. Just imagine when I say things like this, what does the heart of Mama Jackie is when we speak about her son being healed? What do you think? It will happen because the Lord wants it to happen, independent of us. We can cooperate with him, and if we do, we probably will get the opportunity to have very many more of these examples to be able to say, well, look what God's done. Look what God's done. I mean, are the only miracles financial? But are there financial miracles here? The answer is yes. Are there only miracles health? Are there health? The answer is yes. Are there only miracles paraplegics or people that can't see, they didn't call you a paraplegic, but they thought that that's what you're going to be. Constrained to a wheelchair all your life. Forget work. So what's going to be your work for a man that's been climbing trees and trimming trees and so on? I don't know what the Lord has for you, but I'm so happy that you're with us, because you represent the substance of what all of us are hoping for, an evidence that's not been seen, so we call it faith. But when faith is fulfilled, when the desire cometh, the book of Proverbs says it's the tree of life, that's Chaim, like what the Torah is. So get ready to experience Etz Chaim, because the desire of our hearts, the righteous desires that God's put on us, are about to happen. And some of you are about to be married. Some of you are going to marry the girl of your life, or the man of your life. Some of you are starting a business. Some of you are starting to work. Ryan has to start some sort of business, I'm sure. Or look, the Lord can do all those things. And he is doing it. He is doing it. What an awesome bar mitzvah portion. I had no idea. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Dan. I had no idea that you, Kyle, would be involved, completely involved with the Torah service. That you would choose to carry the red one, because I didn't know anybody would want to or could. And that you went to there and you heard me say, well, oh no, he said to the people with him, I'm watching, and I'm going to take that one. And by the way, he didn't need any help. He knew where it was and knew how to pick it up, etc. Thank you, John, for enabling that to happen. Thank you, Sam, for enabling all these things to happen. Thank you so much, Bill and Lynn, for letting us have an anointed worship service. And it's just the beginning, I think. So let me pray for you and dismiss you. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you that we see, we're not barren, Lord. It's like maybe a year ago, I'd say, well, we're going to have miracles in the congregation. Well, have you had any? No. We're going to have salvations of Jewish people in the congregation. Have you had any? No. We're going to have miracle healings from that the medical profession says, not. Have you had any? No. We're going to have people have the dream of their life in happen in this time. Do you think that's all coincidence? Is all of this that I'm talking about coincidence? Is it coincidence that you're going to repair something from Europe, especially from England, and the top person happens to help you and direct you? And so, I mean, did you know that anything that's happening right now, did you know it's going to happen? We have to get out of the yesteryear of we're in the desert and there's no water. There is water. The Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, is among us. He desires to do way beyond anything that you and I can think about or experience or want to. Hang in there. Hang in there. And it'd be like when Moses told the people, stand still and watch the salvation of God. And he stretched out his rod and the sea parted. I think a miracle like the sea parting is what you experienced today by seeing your son right here, right next to you. Awesome. Father God, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for the blessing of life. I thank you for life more abundant. I thank you that you have chosen. Oh, I hadn't even said about the bionic man back there. the bionic man back there said, I'm going to have my knee replaced. And he couldn't hardly stand the week before. He couldn't even move. I'm going to have my knee replaced, and I'm going to walk in here. There's another one that's not here today. He said, I'm going to have my knee replaced, and I'm going to dance right away, and et cetera. Guess what? Peradventure, it all involves you too. Peradventure, you're about to have experienced something awesome, like no one has ever experienced. And when those things happen, we then have a testimony. When those things happen, we have something to share with the world. We have hope. We have goodness. We can, you know, we're not destitute anymore. And we certainly got plenty of water. Amen? So, Father, Yeshua, thank you for all of your people here. And I want to bless them, Lord, with the blessing of Aaron, Aharon, Moses' brother. And the Lord told Moses that this is how your brother, not you, Moses, you lead them. He blesses them. This is how he's going to bless the children of Israel. And this is what he said. Yevarechecha Adonai veyishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panaveilecha veyasemlecha shalom. In the name of Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen.